My name is Scott Fotheringham, and I'm going to read from my first novel, The Rest is Silence, published by Goose Lane Editions in April of 2012. I'm going to read a few pages from the very beginning of the novel. This is what I've lost. I was 7, growing up in a neighborhood that had space for me to run. On an October afternoon, the air dry and cool, I was playing touch football in my backyard with my friends. Ripe pumpkins lay in our garden under the cloudless blue sky. Mom was at the kitchen window watching birds land on the feeder that she and I kept filled for them. The plenitude of summer had passed, easing us into the cold. That winter we would build the skating rink on the grass that was covered now with a collage of red and yellow leaves. Despite the end of things, it was a dreamy time for a kid like me, for whom death was still an unexplored abstraction. It was all so clean and clear, pure in its changing. I loved being in the world, and the world loved me in October. How else to explain the smell of a forest full of crinkly leaves underfoot, the skeletal fingers of trees scratching against the sky, and the cold air on my ears hinting at frost in the nighttime? How else to explain the V of geese flying south over our house, all of us stopping mid-game to look heavenward, Mom rushing outside onto the lawn to come see? They were honking and flapping, saying goodbye to us, saying goodbye to what we had known of summer. When they were a distant line, we could still hear their faint clamor. Then even that was gone, and not long after, her voice with it. I was left with an emptiness I hadn't known before, an emptiness I was certain would stay with me forever. That childhood innocence and the freedom to play are not all I've lost. I have lived to see parts of the world I loved as a kid ruined. We learn from the mistakes we make, not those we avoid because someone warned us of them. We discover our own faith, unwrap what we believe and how we worship life, not by following age-old rituals out of duty, but by asking questions about our suffering. The faith we discover and the choices we make have a large impact on who we become. Usually their impact on the rest of the world is small, but there are exceptions. Take a scientist like Oppenheimer. When he and his colleagues were constructing the atom bomb at Los Alamos, they worried that the chain reaction that it depended on might use whatever it came in contact with as fuel, a perpetual motion machine that would turn the Earth into a nuclear furnace like the sun. They guessed that the gun was not loaded, crossed their fingers, and played Russian roulette with the planet. Humans are no good at shelving ideas. We insist that our inventions be used without much thought as to whether they will benefit us. Scientists have made some big errors, unleashing technologies we can't control. We are paying for their mistakes. I am an active member of this meddling species, compulsive and insistent, and I believe that technology can also be used to remedy what ails us. Perhaps this is only a justification for the mistakes I have made. In the beginning was the Word. Out of the void, an idea is voiced, and for no other reason than being spoken, it inevitably becomes manifest. As the power of the split atom, once it was discovered, had to be acted upon. As we created GMOs, once we were capable of genetic engineering. As human cloning is now possible, not because we need it, but because the technology exists. Energy becomes matter. Word becomes deed. The unmanifest is brought forth as form. Don't voice your ideas if you don't want them realized.